Three, two, one.
Go!
I was a little early on that. I got excited.
Yeah.
It happens.
Should we redo it?
Fix it in post.
Should we redo it?
No, it's fine. You
good?
I mean, that's what she usually says, but...
Okay. She says, we'll fix it in post?
Or you were a little bit early.
Let's try it again.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I'm not going to follow up on that one.
Aren't you good? <choice. laughs>
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty kids?
Hitler. Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast and member of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. This episode 238, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This week, we want to talk about Paul George's mysterious comments. We're looking at the playoff landscape in the Western Conference. I got a stat of the week and an undergoogleable question. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast, first from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Nebeatables? Shout out to March. In like a lion, out like a lamb. Is that what it is? Okay, good.
I think that's right.
Did I just spoil our undergoogleable?
You might have, yeah.
Sorry.
What is it? Is it in like a lamb, out like a lion? I can't remember. Does the lion eat the lamb?
You'll find out in the second half. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? So glad to be with you. Shout out to rabbits. Delta is my new giant rabbit, and she's wonderful, but... I've spent most of my time trying to figure out how to keep her happy, and I'm probably gonna have to quit my job. I'm gonna have to give up watching basketball. She's pretty much a full-time job, but totally worth it when she binkies.
What's
sounded like a verb.
Yeah, so binkying is when rabbits are happy and they run and they jump and kind of click their heels together in midair. It's really cute.
Did you get it like a vaudevillian rabbit?
Just going down the yellow brick road.
That's a great idea. I'm gonna dress her up as each of the characters from Wizard of Oz and take pictures. This is great.
You are gonna quit your full time
job. Rabbit
is
not gonna like you.
My rabbit is not gonna like me.
I'm glad that's what binking is, because I thought it was just like a cute name you gave it to when she, you know.
Yeah, no, it's made snuggles. It's actually a thing.
Took a dump or something. Made a binky. But that's good too. I'm glad to have learned that.
We're an educational show, if nothing else.
Yes. Eugene, Oregon, out west. It's our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, I'll shout out to March. While the Pacers are still as confusing as ever, there is... You know, we're getting to that time of year where these games really start to matter, and there's just going to be a lot of good basketball over the next 4 weeks. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. I'm still a fan of basketball. So, mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to get our topic here. So you said that, you know, it's been a confusing
mess.
It's been a confusing mess for an extended period of time. But there's been a quote recently out from Paul George. Jason, to me, it's a little bit concerning.
Well, yeah. So, as I mentioned on Monday's show, I'm still abstaining from Pacers basketball, from watching them actively. But I, you know, I have a job, quote unquote, where I'm supposed to follow this team. So I've been looking at how the players are responding after the game. So what are they saying to the media? And this quote from PG after the I think it was after the Denver game. Yeah, after the Denver game, he said, and I quote, "It just seems when I get going or when I go off, I'm looked at as the ball stopper or the ball hogger. I get labeled as that. Within games, I try to move the ball and get other guys involved. When that doesn't work, that's when I go as a lone wolf." And the media tried to clarify who PG felt was labeling him as a ball stopper or ball hogger. You know, was it people in the media talking to him in their talking about him in their columns, or was it within the locker room? And PG's response was no comment. So infer from that what you will, I guess. I particularly don't like the phrase lone wolf. It seems antithetical to the team concept, but
I will take a Hangover quote anytime. Anytime you can reference that movie, that's just
it. So any thoughts on this? Like, am I overreacting to this? But this seems like PG just doesn't give a crap about anybody else on his team. And it's like, this is him throwing them under the bus again. It's like, I try to get them involved, that doesn't work, so I got to do it by my damn self.
Yeah, this is a guy who is really good at basketball, but doesn't sound comfortable in his own skin. Like, he's fantastic. He shares the ball, he scores kind of at will. Like, these are good qualities. I don't understand why he's feeling he has to justify this or somehow doesn't. It makes it sound like he doesn't understand how basketball works. I don't. Like, he's. I don't. Is anybody calling him a ball hog? I mean, I guess somebody in the locker room is, right?
No comment.
That seems to be the animation. I can't think of a time on this pod that we've called him a ball hog. We read a lot of what the media says about our team, and it's not a narrative that you see out there a lot. I mean, this guy's our superstar. His usage rate is less than 30%. I think we'd be fine if it was 40, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's coming from. They asked Nate McMillan about it, and his quote was, I think it's always the case with the leading scorer on a team. Sometimes people look at the guy and say he's selfish or that he needs to move the ball or how many shot attempts did he get. I think you play the game the right way. Last night, we were down 23 in the fourth, and okay, somebody has to make something happen. I thought Paul got aggressive. I didn't see any issues, right?
Right.
Which seems like the correct thing to say. It kind of led to a conversation about whether superstars play by different rules as other people, which kind of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they asked Paul if his teammates just need to understand that, he said, "I ain't going to speak on that." So again, it feels like the finger pointing goes back to that locker room. And I'm not sure who in that locker room would have the gall to say, "Yeah, Paul, you really need to cut down on your touches, bro. Like, see me." Right? I mean, there's just nobody at a level who can legitimately say that. And, you know, Paul kind of closed out by saying, at this point, it's win. Whatever I got to do to win. If I got to put up 30 shots to win, I'll put up 30. Which is a sentiment that I'm fine with. I feel like it probably came 30 games too late in the season.
Sure.
But this is a confusing mess, and once again speaks to just a basic lack of understanding about roles in the locker room.
The only player I can think of that might complain about that could be Miles Turner. You know, I think as the season's gone on, his usage has gone down, scoring's gone down. I feel like he's just been less involved. You know, when this is the first year he's been the starter, and when the season started, I was kind of over the moon for this guy. He was, you know, quick to shoot, making, you know, playing really well. And as the season, he's still playing fine, but it's not as much as, not as great as he was.
And he lost his three ball there for a while.
And I don't know. Maybe he feels like maybe he himself feels like some of that reason could be because of Paul George. He's not getting the touches he needs. I don't know.
And I agree. If you're looking just at the stats and who might have something to say to that, Miles is probably the guy. But again, that would concern me if I got a second year guy telling Paul George what he's supposed to be doing with the Rock. Yes. And we don't have team leadership from the coaching staff, if necessary, clarifying exactly how this is supposed to work on the court.
Or from other leaders in the locker room.
Yeah, you know, or the multitude of veterans that we have in the locker room to say, like look, son, this is the young NBA. Kid.
We don't have any professionals in the locker room. We just need to just dispel ourselves of that reality.
So you don't, you don't like Karen Brooks, Al Jefferson, Monta Ellis as veteran leaders?
No.
Okay.
No, I think that this season has proven, look, you know what professionals do? They go out and they work hard every night. They pick each other up when they're down. They try and, you know, get guys from getting overconfident, and they keep everybody sort of, you know, within a reasonable range of euphoria, highs, lows, whatever, so that you can translate that to basketball on the court. We have not seen a lick of that this season.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever we thought these professionals were, thank you, Hodge. Whoever we thought these professionals were, they're not doing what we expect of real professional basketball players. So I think that we misjudged the level of professionalism of this team from the start. And I think that we as analysts, or I'll certainly take the hit on this one, I've been slow to recognize that it's just not there.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we're very excited about the fact that we were getting guys that had been in the league for a long time, and felt that that would translate. You know, one of the things we thought was that it would translate to decent play on the road, because veterans know not to go out and party or whatever and do things on the road and prepare themselves properly, take care of their bodies. And we've seen the exact opposite. Yeah, I mean, we totally should have picked up on this way sooner, I guess, but... yeah, I mean, I guess it underscores the fact that years in the league don't necessarily translate to great locker room IQ at some level.
Sure. Right? And even great basketball IQ doesn't, you know, translate to great locker room or emotional IQ, right?
For sure, yeah.
Okay, this is really disturbing if it is Miles Turner, though, isn't it? I mean, this is a...
No.
No?
I mean, I don't love it, but at the same time, if... You know, I'm fine with a guy being like, hey, I can help this team. I want more touches. I'm trying to get back. I'm fine with that.
Right.
As long as he's taking it directly to Paul George, right? And then at that point, you know, Nate McMillan can do his job and clear up, you know, what people's responsibilities are on the court, what their expectations should be. That, it doesn't sound like, happened in a productive way.
That has never happened at any point since Nate McMillan took the reins.
I mean, nothing from what I have been able to see as a fan would suggest that he has done a good job of working with the egos that inevitably exist in an NBA locker room.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, yeah, I guess it goes back to these veterans, but I want to, on Monday's show, I mentioned that a lot of the guys, especially veteran guys, you know, Teague and Thad Young and PG, were talking glowingly about the Boston Celtics and how they just seem like a really well-coached team. You know, saying things like, their coach puts them in positions to do great things, you know, and that translates well. And you can see that on the floor. They're always in the right position, like, blah, blah, blah. Basically, to me, it was sounding like they were saying, I really want a coach to tell me that because I don't know what my job is, basically, so...
It'd be nice if they picked up some lessons about setting great screens and moving the ball on the perimeter, but you know.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe this is a step in that direction, you know?
Maybe. I don't know.
Unfortunately, I don't think Larry Bird probably heard any of those comments. But
is this team going to make the playoffs? Are we in danger of sliding out of the playoffs at this point? I mean...
Absolutely. Well, I mean, just like at a... on a number level, like, you know, the Pacers were up a game and a half on, you know, a couple of the game and a half on the teams that are in between them and the lottery. And Pacers not playing well. You know, the other teams are also not playing great, but it doesn't take much to go out. You know, just basically two losses get you, you know, into the lottery. Nothing we've said in the last two shows has made any of us, I don't believe, any more confident that this team is going to storm into the playoffs. Except, Colson, you were super excited last week.
I was.
The team has turned the corner.
It was, and it all depended on how this week went. And we went 1-3, and then our superstar comes out and makes it sound like there's huge strife in the locker room between people not understanding roles, and he's got beef with potentially our, you know, young future
entire
of the franchise.
Locker room.
It's like, yeah. So this is going in the opposite direction that I thought, perhaps.
So we found out that the two untradeable guys don't like each other.
Yeah,
this is great.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like.
So, right.
I mean, we're eternal optimists on this show, and we can't even get one of our analysts to an emotional space where he can watch games.
Yeah, that says a lot about this team. So we're recording this on Sunday. Currently, the Pacers are 36-36. So they have 10 games left. I'm looking at the schedule of the slate of games that we have left, and the best case scenario that I can come up with is that we go 5-5. The most likely scenario is we go 4-6. I think by my numbers.
Okay.
So that would put us at 40-42, which I think should be good enough for the playoffs, but I don't know. Those teams that are just outside the playoffs already have 39 losses, so, but they probably have tiebreakers against us. So
yeah, we lose all tiebreakers for sure.
All tiebreakers,
right? Chicago in its last, well, its last five games are at Knicks, at Philly, at Brooklyn, at home against Orlando, and then Brooklyn again.
Oh my God!
Oh, come on!
And
we have a 2.5 game lead on them. However,
yes, no, this is true. Detroit's got a tougher out. They've got at home against Toronto, then their road against the Rockets, the Grizz. They're at home against Washington, who's playing great. And then they got at the Magic. So I think that's a tough out for a team that's, you know, 3-7 in its last 10.
Yeah, they're not good there.
Chicago's got D-Wade out for the rest of the season. They're 3-7 in their last 10. I mean, these aren't good teams.
Yeah.
No. And
so basically, so everybody's going to backpedal.
I mean, 500, I think, absolutely.
Yeah.
And whoever backpedals the slowest is going to stay in the playoffs.
So so the Hawks are in a free fall. They've lost their last six games. And they now only have a game. Let's see. Yeah, a game lead on us. So they could fall below us, which would be nice. Because I don't think we're gaining any ground. I think we end up with the seventh or eighth seed and have to play the two teams that we have no chance against, either the Cavs or the Celtics.
We also have our last game of the season against them at our house.
Against who?
Against the Hawks. Oh. And they've got two games against Cleveland, the 7th and 9th of April. Before that, they played Boston. This is going to be a tough out for them.
So we're looking at lock in the 5th seed and or the lottery.
right. Essentially.
Oh, boy.
Man.
In any other season, I'd say that we're not making the playoffs because other teams get hot at this time and string together wins, but Not this year. We're totally backing it.
Great.
You know,
and might even pick up a seating position because of
how bad everybody else is. I'm the eternal optimist. I want this team to do well, and I have this vision of, you know, somehow us without back to backs and with the heightened intensity of the playoffs, you know, making some noise. But not if we're playing Boston and the Cavs. Or the Cavs. Like, it just, if we get 7 or 8, it's probably a sweep, right?
Most likely, yeah. I mean, Paul George can steal a game. He's that level of a talent, for sure. But, yeah. It ain't going beyond five, I don't think.
So that means the fifth or sixth seed really matters, and that means we have to play better than 500 ball, and this team doesn't seem capable of it.
Nope.
I mean, no. And the Heat are likely going to overtake us because, I mean, they're playing good ball, and they're only a game behind us, so they'll likely overtake us. We're not going to catch the Bucks the way that they're playing. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
Even if we do catch them, they have beat us every time, and so we don't hold the tiebreaker at all.
I mean, we got plenty of time to get two games. I mean, time.
Right.
But we're not playing at a level of basketball where that seems likely. I mean, I think that the most likely scenario here is probably that we end up 7 and the Hogs 8.
Yeah.
Right. But I see little opportunity for us to get out of that 1-2. That feels like where this is headed. I'm not sure we deserve to be a playoff team, let alone a 6.
Well, you said last week that we're not even going to match the total of wins we had when Paul George had a broken leg.
I said it wasn't a foregone conclusion. I think, what did we win, 38 that year?
No.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah,
that what
something
it
like that.
Oh, okay.
It was like 38 or 39.
Yeah.
37.
So I think we'll get there, but
ugh,
not by much. And on paper, we have got such a, you know, so much an improved team that you would think that, that would be a disappointing outcome to beat that record by 2 games or whatever it's going to be.
And then a tumultuous offseason to come.
After. Yeah, for sure.
So we're going to stumble into the 7th or 8th spot, get swept by Cleveland or Boston, and then have to face a month and a half of Paul George rumors.
Yeah.
And then likely he gets traded to Boston or LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay,
probably LA.
Yeah. For a draft pick and a young prospect?
Julius Randle.
Can we even get that anymore? Oh, man.
Yeah, we definitely can.
I can't believe that he and Miles Turner are just not even close to on the same page. How is that not the only job of the coaching staff, is to make sure your two best players are on the same page? Like Pippen, well, Pippen and Jordan,
I mean, I think
didn't
that
get along.
We extrapolated that. We don't know that that's
true. Yeah, I know. I know. But I mean, who else is doing it? These CJ Miles being like, oh, hey, I deserve way more shots. Like, I don't see that happening.
I can see Monte Ellis doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but you
I
could
see
just
Rodney
cut
Stuckey
him.
Saying, I just need to shoot my way out of this slump, guys. Just give me the damn
totally,
ball.
Totally, right?
I feel okay. Like you just hand him a box score at that point and say, look, no.
Okay. All right. So you guys talk me off this ledge that it's not Miles Turner. God, I hope so. I hope it's not him.
Still the most likely.
Yeah, yeah. Our track record of wild speculation is surprisingly good. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe time for a break, Coulson.
Oh, God.
I can make
Coulson
things
may
better
or may
for
not
you.
Be back for the rest of this show.
I can make things much better for you this week, Coulson.
I hope so.
So our sponsor this week is Handy.com, and they make things better in your life, Coulson. Maybe you need some of this for you. We've talked about them before. Really good service. From home cleaning to handyman services, Handy instantly matches thousands of customers every week with trusted professionals in cities all around the world. With a seamless 60-second booking process, secure payment, and 100% money-back guarantee, Handy is the easiest, most convenient way to book home services. Within a couple of minutes, you can book a pre-approved cleaner or handyman for any time you'd like. Right now, Handy.com is offering 50% off cleaning services to Unbeatables listeners when you use the promo Almighty50 at checkout. Once again, that's Handy.com, promo code Almighty.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I've got lots of rabbit hair around here we could probably clean up.
You get that cleaned up.
Oh, not that much better, though.
But I'll take care of some of the real-life problems you got nagging you, so you could spend more time focused on the personnel problems of the Pacers.
Excellent.
How about this? That moved the needle for you a little bit. Here's another one. I got my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week!
Great story this past week. Devin Booker, the young man from the Phoenix Suns, dropped 70 points against the Celtics in their house. 70 points from a 20-year-old. It's fantastic. We've seen him the three-point contest maybe last year. He's been fantastic. But 70 points.
70 points is better than fantastic.
Yeah. It is a franchise record for the Suns. They actually did lose the game, unfortunately. The Celtics were able to take care of them. But he's only like the sixth person in NBA history to score 70 or more points.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love this game.
And the youngest.
Well, okay. Can we name the other seven? Some of you guys are looking at it, right?
No.
Can we name the other five?
Who have scored 70?
Yeah.
Kobe, Will.
Yeah, okay.
Jordan?
Nope.
No, I don't think Jordan ever did it. I know one for sure, David Robinson. Remember when he was trying to win the scoring title in the last game of the season? They fed him the ball every time in the post, and he scored 71 or 2.
There was a similar game with that. Maybe George Gervin? Or
I was thinking Gervin West.
Not David West.
Not.
No.
David West.
Jerry West scored 70 when he was like 23 or something. So that's who he passed to become the youngest ever, I think.
Okay. No?
No?
No.
I know one.
Maybe.
Elgin Baylor always scored a bunch of points.
Yes, Elgin Baylor. There's one more.
Kareem?
Ooh, that's good. Nay. It's got to be Kareem, right?
Nay, huh?
Can we get an era in which this dude played?
Not too recently.
Not too recently. Okay. So think of your all-time greats.
Walt.
Maybe don't.
Or not.
Bernard King.
Bernard King's an excellent guess.
I like that.
He scored 60 for sure.
Yeah.
I got nothing, Joey. What you got?
David Thompson.
Ah, David Thompson.
Really?
Yeah. I don't make the rules.
All right, that's a hell of a list to be on.
Sure.
Along with David Thompson.
I think the David Thompson thing was similar to the Robinson thing, where he was in a scoring battle for the scoring title.
Okay.
And the last game of the season went nuts. Maybe it was with Gervin. Maybe that's what I was thinking. But I'm sure listeners, tweet in, let us know how dumb we are.
Yeah, it was a crazy night. Apparently, the Tyson Chandler tweeted that he had the garden. They said the garden was chanting his name, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Fan.
Also, the first guy to score 70 without first scoring 40.
These millennials, they don't need stepping stones. Just go for it.
Do you think somebody in his locker room was like, "You're shooting too much"?
Ball stopper, Devin Booker.
Do you see more games like this coming out of his future?
I mean, yes. How old is he? He's like 20. Yeah, why
he's
not?
20.
Yeah. He's a what was the other stat that the Suns the other day played the Nets, and their starting lineup was younger in average age than 7 of the 8 collegiate starting lineups on Thursday night or whatever that was.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's
nuts, yeah.
We'll see more of this guy. In fact, the Suns not having a fantastic year. But I think we'll talk just a few minutes here about the West Coast playoff picture. Harper, you are our resident West Coast host, so that makes you the expert. I just think it's the Spurs every year are all I don't even notice that there are other teams out there. You can fill us in on how this is shaking out. This actually is a little more interesting than we thought it might be.
Yeah, for sure. As we noted back in February, the Golden State Warriors have clinched a playoff spot. They currently sit atop the rankings. They got 58 wins and a two-game lead over San Antonio. So it looks like there's a pretty good chance they're going to hold court for the one seed in the West. Houston is a full six game behind the Spurs, but impressively already a 50-win team. Then it gets a little muddled. Another 6.5 games back, you're going to find Utah, half a game behind them. The Clippers, a game behind them. OKC, and then the Grizz with 40 wins so far this season. Oh, and yeah, that's only seven. Eight is the Denver Nuggets, who just ate our lunch. But at this point, they've only got a one-point lead on my Portland Trailblazers. So that fight for the eight spot should be a good one. The fight for the one spot may end up being a very good one.
I think it's interesting that the Nuggets and the Trailblazers, who made that in-season trade of big men. So, let's say, Miles Plumlee, not Miles, one of the Plumlees, Mason Plumlee for Nurkic. And both teams are playing well after that trade. So, whoever gets the eighth spot clearly won the trade, I think.
Right.
I mean, if Portland passes them for the eighth playoff spot and uses their draft pick to effect, then I think it's safe to say that Portland housed them on that trade, no matter what happens. But
so I guess the only matchup that is probably set in stone is Utah and the Clippers. It's just a matter of sorting out who's going to have home court advantage there. That should be a good series, I think. Utah's first trip to the playoffs in a long time, and the Clippers are the old hat, you know. Been there, done that team. Other than that, things could still shuffle. But it would be Houston OKC. That would be an interesting one. San Antonio Memphis. And then Golden State Denver, as it stands today. That could be a fun series to watch.
It'd be a lot of scoring.
Those teams get up and down the floor, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be Golden State Portland rematch.
That'd be fun, too.
Who do you guys think is going to take the one spot? You think the Spurs got it in them, or is Golden State going to hang on to it? As we record, there is a two. Golden State's up two games. That's
and have won six in a row, even without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
When is Kevin Durant coming back? Do we know? Soon.
Playoffs.
They say that he's been practicing and dunking and stuff.
Playoffs.
I don't think there's any reason to rush him back as long as they're still winning.
No, I mean, there's a sense in which it's probably a good thing to sit him and try and rediscover some of the chemistry that that they've had last year.
So, yeah, I don't think the Spurs are getting there, Joe. Sorry.
They do play each other a couple of times more, I think, right?
Yeah.
Also, the difference between the one and two spots not that big a deal, I don't think.
Until the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
On ESPN on Wednesday, San Antonio at home against Golden State.
Nice.
They're both going to sit all their players, right, to not show each other anything?
Yep.
Good for them.
Adam Silver's going to love that.
Tune in for that.
Apparently, Adam Silver and Popovich aren't friends anymore.
Did they follow each other on Twitter?
I think somebody might have got unfriended this week.
Mm. Maybe the Pacers have just been playing the long game for the playoffs. Like, that's why they're not showing anybody anything. Like, they're not showing their fans good basketball. But no one else gets to see it.
Throw everybody off the scent.
You try to watch film on them, and they're like, yeah, these guys, you know, they can't run screen and rolls. Their two best players don't like to play together. We got this handled.
Yeah.
Long con.
This is a brilliant long con.
Yeah, that was what they did the first day in training camp. They're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Nate McMillan is a mad genius.
You can't alternate wins and losses like for over a month on accident. Like that's not a thing that happens.
No.
They want to convince the
There's
world
a glimmer of hope.
They were.
Yeah. The pattern is too easy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the numbers got to run it over, but I think we're good.
I just got to storm through the East, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well,
sure. Tune in for that.
Yeah.
Pacer Nation.
Anything else with the West Coast playoff picture? Cement.
No, we'll have to get Nico in next week or something so that he can talk about Portland. He didn't have a voice this week when I talked to him.
Hmm.
So
it's kind of a
one-sided
conversation.
Yeah, a little bit. So hopefully next week he'll have his voice back and he can tell us how Portland is so much better than the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
You're sure he didn't just like put the phone down and go do something else?
That does happen to me a lot on the phone, but I could hear him raspily trying to yell at me about how bad my team was.
Let's take a break here, gentlemen. We got music this week. This one we got John Stamps. We've heard from him before. The track is called "Something's Wrong." Something's Wrong with Me. It features Oreo Jones, who we've also featured in the past as well, from the album Green Eggs and Yam, which I like a lot. So check it out, John Stamps. Something's Wrong with Me. That's the song title. That's not what I wasn't talking about myself.
Are you okay, Joe?
I mean, but, you know, something is wrong.
We're your friends, man. Just reach out to us.
Okay.
It was worth it from the first hit. Like a junkie off that sherm stick. Like a rich bitch with that fur fit. I remind her she won't forget. I got big plans like a surrogate. And I get respect like a surrogate. Ghost town persistence is perfect. People tell me admitting is the first step. Mama told me killed him with kindness. Look at what we booking, get the cooking with the flyers. Bro got the yo that will blow out your sinus. Playing with the keys since the young and light line is. Back to the meta that, hey, better that. Neighborhood chatter that, ear to the dirt. Trying to make sure my offering plentiful. On come the day I transcend from the earth. What is my word? Nothing more than a shilling. What is this realm? Nothing more than a feeling. What is this town? Nothing more than a ceiling. Somehow my home still just feels so appealing. So appealing. So appealing. So appealing.
Side, not one fun, but my thing on the west side. Not done gone, I'ma take shots to the back side, to the cap side. I am a nobody around them all. In the caravan, 100 goons. Roll up to the club too soon. In the caravan, 100 goons. With a black Anne Hathaway, I flip a penny in a linen in the middle of a fountain. If she one of them, I wish they say I want the whole world jumping up a Himalayan mountains. She a blast, she gon' rock it though. I rock the boat like I'm
we're back from the break. Thanks again, John Stamps. Check it out. You can listen to it free on SoundCloud, and you can buy it on iTunes if you really dig it. We got a link in the show notes, just right on the app. Just tap the screen, and you get to it right from there. Next up, we got the Undegoogleables. Colson, I'm excited about this one. You always bring the A game. You bring A game, I guess.
Appreciate that.
We doing under Googleables?
That was the plan.
I'm super excited.
You told us we had to.
You said we signed up for it.
In the end, it's going to be better and more true than Google can give you.
What question you got for us this week?
Yeah, this just around the corner, Monday. It's going to be April Fool's Day, and I want to know what we know about April Fool's Day. When it started, what it's about, was it like St. Thomas the Fool or something? You know, I don't know. What do we know about April Fool's Day.
I'm going pagans.
Pagans? I'm
going pagans.
I feel like it's always the pagans, right? St. Patrick's Day was about the pagans.
It all comes back to the pagans.
So it's Christianity making fun of the pagans, and it ended up being a holiday?
Sure.
Okay. Probably the other way around, but, you know, sure.
Surprise! We're going to crucify you.
How old do you think April Fool's Day is?
Well, that's the thing. Like, is it an American holiday? Is it an international holiday?
It's not a holiday. I wish I got April Fool's Day.
I mean, it's not a federal holiday, but it's a holiday.
It's like National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day or something like that.
Right. Right. Every day is some sort of day, if you look up.
Yeah, I guess it's equivalent to Groundhog Day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like on calendars.
For some reason, historically, we're like, yeah, this is the day. I guess St. Patrick's Day, same thing. Valentine's Day.
Why do we do mean stuff to people too?
Oh, on April Fool's Day?
And the internet is just unreadable on that day. I don't even bother.
It's a bunch of fake news. Is that what it is?
It's all fake news. Well, so that's
all fake news.
That's the rest of the year too, Colson.
So it's the one day they do real news.
Real news. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Actually, get facts on the internet on April 1st.
That's a good question. So, I mean, what else would it be? It's some sort of celebration of humans being dumb, is what it is, I guess. Gullible. Allowing ourselves to be gullible one day. I don't know. This is a tricky one.
Okay, so let's break it down. When did it start? When do we think it started? Like, is it really old? Is it like medieval times? Or is it like, you know, Cold War? Like, when are we talking?
I think like probably came from a Cold War submarine or something like that.
That's in the book you're reading, right, Ivor?
Yes. It's that was the sort of driving hypothesis of the book, is the importance of April Fool's Day to submarine warfare.
I'm gonna say like Middle Ages. Yeah.
Okay. And I like this pagan idea where, you know, it was maybe a pagan holiday. And the Christians had to, like, delegitimize it, and so they made it you know.
They were sick of just killing all the pagans, so they were like, oh, look, they're having a big joke. That's what they told their kids. They were like, oh, they're playing a joke on you. But really, they were just, like, celebrating some weird pagan holiday.
Right.
So you think this may have been, like, the old pagan Christmas?
Sure. And then they were like, just kidding. Or, like, summer solstice or something, you know, like something that they cared about and...
It's early for the summer one. But.
The spring solstice? I don't know.
So what's...
Harvest Day. That's in the fall.
But the equinoxes are in the spring and the fall, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so could this No, the equinox already happened, right?
Right, but it's just last week.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the pagan holiday. I was always under the impression that the pagan holiday, the spring pagan holiday was Easter. That's what Christianity got Easter for that.
Okay.
When the Easter bunnies rise from the whatever, I don't remember.
The crypt.
It's kind of hazy.
Yeah.
The eggs. They got eggs.
Yeah. Maybe instead of harvest day, it's like a planting day thing. And once you plant, you don't have anything to do for like a week.
So you're just like playing jokes on one another.
To go straight to practical jokes to entertain people on the farm, right?
Okay.
Sure.
The problem is planting day, like... It's all weather dependent.
And also, I usually plant for more than just a day, I think, don't you? It takes a while to plant.
Well, right, but that's the thing. Yes, it's a bunch of hard work for an extended period of time, but when you're done, I mean, you're kind of done.
Okay.
Just kind of sitting there waiting for water for a while, right?
All right, so this could go back to farming. How far back? We're saying medieval, right?
Yeah, I'm down with medieval.
Okay. All right, this is pretty good.
That was like the age of fools, you know, your jesters, your town fools.
So Joey, you think it's a celebration of court jesters? It was kind of like their day off. It was like Boxing Day,
Yeah, it's like Boxing Day for jesters.
Should have tipped your local jester.
Oh, that's a pretty good theory.
Yeah, I got nothing better than that.
All right, so it's the National Jester's Day or some sort of Christian bastardization of a pagan holiday. Those are good. Sure. Those are better guesses than I thought we'd come up with. I'll take either one of those.
Okay, so origins are not clear, I guess, but it is recognized widely around the world. So it's not just a American thing. Some precursors of April Fool's Day include the Roman festival of Hilaria, which I think is pretty cool. There's some references to it in Chaucer.
You got some Chaucer. Of course we got Chaucer.
Of course. It always goes back to Chaucer.
If it happened in the Middle Ages, Chaucer had something to say.
Exactly.
Or some falconry.
French poet references the holiday in a 1508 poem, I guess.
In the Middle Ages, New Year's Day was celebrated on March 25th in most European towns.
Yeah, that's weird.
In some areas of France, New Year's was a week-long holiday ending on April 1st.
Whoa.
In the Netherlands, April Fool's Day is often attributed to the Dutch victory at Brielle in 1572, where the Spanish Duke Alvarez de Toledo was defeated. So everybody's apparently got their own April Fool's Day.
That's weird.
Gig.
That's like a convergent evolution thing or something. Like, it was just meant to be that there was going to be a holiday on April 1st.
So
in every
culture. History.com says speculates that April Fool's Day date back to 1582 when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, as called for by the Council of Trent. People who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize that the start of the new year had moved to January 1st and continued to celebrate during the last week of March, ending in April 1st, became the butt of jokes. This included having paper fish placed on their backs and being referred to as Poisson d'Avril or April Fish.
Why fish?
To symbolize young, easily caught, and gullible people.
Okay. Or just slow to the news.
Yeah, you're right, though. It's all over the place. Scotland, there was a two-day event called Hunting the Gawk, where people were sent on phony errands. Gawk is a word for a cuckoo bird.
In Ireland, it was traditional to entrust the victim with an important letter to be given to a named person. That person would then ask the victim to take it to someone else, and then so on and so forth. And then when the letter was finally opened, it contained the words, "Send the fool further."
Oh, that's really cruel. So
they had the same joke every year in Ireland.
We do that with rookies at restaurants. You go, hey, man, could you go next door and borrow a bar extender? And they're like, oh, yeah, cool. And they run over there. And then, of course, all restaurant people know that's a joke. And so they're like, oh, man, we're using ours. You got to go to the restaurant. You know, so, like, you have a rookie coupon.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You ask for a bar extender?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ones.
Think that is?
Well, there's something that make it sound, you know, like it's a thing you might use. I can't remember the other ones, but, you just make somebody go on a fool's errand and they – you know, other restaurants know the joke, and so they send them to another restaurant. You get the kid to run around for an hour.
That's great for someone that's getting paid in tips.
Yeah. Well, they're still in training, usually.
Okay.
Colson, you talked about April fish. Did you include that this was also often included an attempt to attach a paper fish to the victim's back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was reading while that happened.
There's also the thing where we make the kids drain the coffee machine. So they have to just fill buckets of water But the thing is, it's the coffee machine's actually attached to the water line, so you can't ever empty it. So we usually wait for them to go through a couple buckets of water before we tell them.
I don't like that. Just we only have so much fresh water, John.
It's pretty funny, though.
You just horrified California.
Suck at California.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great for you in your Great Lakes region and your plethora of fresh water. But
yeah, that's what's actually it's great about Indiana. If you know, if I get thirsty, I can just walk to a Great Lake anytime I want. Fill up. Okay. This
well, that
is
was interesting. I feel like I learned something.
Yeah, it is.
Let me get some paper fish ready.
People love to make other people look stupid, is what we learned all over the world, and for a very long time.
I like the old New Year's Day one. I think that's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing about the they were supposed to go to London Tower to see the washing of the lions? That was one of them. That was like in the 1600s. What was that?
For April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
Are you trying to fool us?
No, the British government was in on it. Apparently they had put out a big thing that you're supposed to go see the washing of the lions. I don't know. Did the British government have a bunch of lions?
Sure.
I mean, somebody's got to eat the pagans.
Right. Yeah, you go to see the washing of the lions and you just get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. They're not monsters.
Surprise!
They stole everything else from Africa, so why not the lions?
Why not?
Ooh.
Too soon, man.
Too soon.
Did I actually mention to you guys that I witnessed a kidnapping the other night?
But no.
Yeah, no, I just decided to let him sleep.
Oh boy! You hoaxer! All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the game of the week.
Game of the week. Game of the week.
This week, the Pacers are playing again at the Toronto Raptors on Friday, I believe. The Raptors murdered us last time. We traveled to Toronto. Should we expect anything different this time?
No.
I mean, it's... Is it our house?
No.
No.
That's Toronto.
Yeah, we're getting blowed out.
Okay. So, everybody can, you know, go out with your loved ones on that Friday. No need to stay in. You know, because you're going to be busy Saturday watching the Final Four, so you should, go out Friday.
Maybe we can look for Miles Turner to back up his big talk, and, you know, maybe he'll just whoop up Valanciunas on the boards, and we can win that game.
And he'll shoot 30 times.
Paul George will, right?
If he can get the ball.
I think Paul George, how close do you think Paul George is to doing, remember when Kobe would get all petulant and refuse to shoot?
Mm.
Just pass the ball every time. He probably does that in this Toronto game, so look out for that. Where he's just like, nope, I'm not going to score. You guys do it.
Well, I think before Kobe does that, he'd shoot 30 times. So we'll have, we're going to have a game sometime this week where he shoots like 30 times.
Yeah.
Like, that happens twice and we don't win, so he just stops.
Yep.
Okay.
If you guys are so good, do it on your own.
Right.
Can't wait.
I think in honor of April Fool's Day on Monday, I think we should just do a whole show where we're really optimistic about the Pacers.
That's foolish.
Oh, God.
We'll see how it goes. There's still time.
For what, Joey?
For another corner to turn.
Alex sends through the hourglass. So go the turns of the Pacers.
Did you guys see the crazy end to the Mad Ants game that like this week? I'll put the link out there, but it was one of the weirdest ends to a game I've ever seen. They were playing the Grand Rapids Drive, I think. Inbound long pass goes off the rim. Grand Rapids is inbounding it, trying to like alley basically, and the inbound pass hits the back of the rim and goes to with like about a second left or whatever, and it goes to bounces to one of their unguarded guys because he's standing at the 3-point line and he just puts up a little short jumper. But it was bizarre, just bizarre.
That's how they drew it up, Joey.
Yeah, I think that was the title of it of the link.
For some reason, I didn't think the inbound was allowed to touch the rim.
I think you can't.
Yes, that's incorrect.
Well, the clock should start once it touches the rim, right?
I don't think so.
Oh,
no. I think it's when a player touches it.
Okay. So could I just like throw stuff off the backboard to? You just like playing pool, like you just practice the angle and like get your guy set up.
If you can do that,
they should be practicing this stuff. This is pretty good.
You think it's easier to? I mean, we've seen a lot of bad inbound plays already. Mm-hmm. Like the one this week, the Pacers are making their big run back in the Denver game, and Monte he gets a 5-second violation inbounded the game like with a minute left. I don't know why I brought that up. It just made us sad again.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we should go. Until Monday, April Fool's Day, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us in iTunes. That really helps new listeners find our show. We got some t-shirts for sale.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Sick-Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
I gotta re-up my drugs. That sounded horrible.
You coming down?
Yeah, man. I'm crashing hard, apparently.
Harper, is your dog all right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's normal. He normally doesn't do it that much. I don't know. He hasn't smoked all morning.
So. Maybe that's why.
No.
Yeah. Smoking cures the common cough. Yeah.
That's right.
That's what doctors won't tell you.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
Smoke yourself thin.
When you were having trouble breathing after your surgery, right? They just lit you up a cigarette.
Yeah, that's it.
This will make it better.
Yeah, right next to the oxygen tank.
Safety first.
Yeah.
Well, I think the modern day they vape in the hospitals is what you're supposed to do.
Okay, sure.
It's just the responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's a lot. There are a lot of vape shops around here.
Oh, dude, it's nuts.
Did you say fake shops?
No, vape.
No, oh, okay.
It's like the vapor, like when you get the vapors.
Sure. Like every time I watch the Pacers.
Yeah. Exactly. Lord, I have the vapors.